Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Gabrielle Union strived for the perfection her father always demanded, but as a dark-skinned Black girl, she never felt like she was enough. In our new series, Gabrielle Union, Bigger, Badder, Better, we'll tell you how she learned to embrace the things that scared her and let go of her need to be perfect.
Listen to Even the Rich on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on YouTube. Hi, I'm Ronnie. Guess who I'm with? He's gorgeous. He's hot. He's thin. Sometimes a twat. It's Ben Mandelker. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
You're never a twat. It just rhymes.
Oh, it's fine. No, I am often a twat. It's all good. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. Just you'll have the next hour of evidence.
I don't think we're supposed to be saying that word either. Sorry. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is a very special day because it is a holiday in our country. Ben, tell them about the holiday, would you?
Okay, well, today is Memorial Day weekend. Well, it's Memorial Day. So we are taking the day off. We recorded this Top Chef ahead of time so we could have some relaxation. Very special Top Chef that celebrates so many things, but most of all, it celebrates the beauty of jelly. Wow. Don't we love a good jello mold? Perfect for my dear friend Gail Simmons.
Big day for jelly, guys. Big day for jelly. So welcome to the show. Happy holidays and everything. Our usual stuff. Come see us on tour. We are done. June is it. So come see us in June. We're starting in San Diego in a couple of weeks. And then after that, we have three shows in one weekend. St. Paul, then Chicago, then Columbus. Then the very next weekend, Boston, Massachusetts, and Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut. That's our big finale. It's going to be a party. So come to all of those. WatchWhatCrappens.com. That's also where you will find links to our Patreon. Okay. That's what we're on right now. If you are watching us on video, hi. The day these recaps come out, they're available on Crappens On Demand level on Patreon. We have started to do all of our recaps as video. Guys, 11 years later, we're going to go to YouTube. Look at that. We are going to YouTube. Not exclusively, obviously.
But if you YouTube.
Right, if you prefer to watch things, you now can, okay, for free. If you want them day of, you go to Patreon. If you want them free, you wait a week. That's how that works. Keeping it simple. You also get bonus episodes and stuff being on that level. So join us, and thank you to everybody for your support, and thank you to all the new people on YouTube. Nice to meet you after all these years. It's crazy that we've lived in the same neighborhood and never met.
Okay. Seriously, I know. It's like a new crazy world, the world of YouTube. Kind of funky, but here we are.
Here we are. Love it. Okay, so this episode of Top Chef, Season 20, Episode 12, is called Goodbye, London. Could have used a little more creativity there, but for the most part, loved it because my fave came back to the show.
I know. I was really scared after last week when Amar and Sarah were kicked off the show, but they didn't waste any time getting to the bottom of this. So we started off with at the Chef Hotel, which is what they really should brand that Kimpton Chef Hotel. And everyone's waking up. So as these episodes the episodes continue to be supersized despite the fact that there were fewer and fewer people on it. So we're getting more time of watching people waking up, and we're literally just watching Gabri making his own bed, which is funny because I'm like, Gabri, you know you're in a hotel, right? I just wanted to remind you. You don't have to do that. So
stay humble. Just keep making your bed. You know, it's like when people become actors and they're like, I'm going to keep my busing shift. It's like, oh, okay. You're super humble. So I think Gabri's doing that. Also, we get a shot of Ali working out, which is really the only reason I turned this on today. Because I was like, you know, there's not that many people. I'll just wait to see who wins later. Nope. Ali's working out. And you know, he worked out in a hopeful way. Like in a way that I was like, I can do that. I mean, I could lift things like just above my head. Is that all I have to do to look like that? I'm going to do it because
apparently Yeah, I mean, Ali doing great work with his body. Because what we learn is that Ali actually started off as kind of like a jock. In fact, he didn't even like food that much. But the only thing he would really eat growing up were sandwiches. And he just only ate sandwiches and started making sandwiches. And he just made really good sandwiches. And that's where he discovered his passion was in making sandwiches.
Yeah, he had like a whole sandwich journey. And it's so funny because I do too, but I'm usually crying when I tell mine. It's like, oh, and then all I ate was sandwiches. That's all I could have. And then I went to Weight Watchers and they said, stop eating the sandwiches. I just couldn't stop eating the sandwiches. I go in bed alone at night and I still, before I go to bed, I say, I love you, sandwiches. So that's mine. His was like so hopeful and beautiful. Like he made sandwiches. People liked the sandwiches. He opened a business in school, which I didn't know you could even do that. I mean, I appreciate the free market in Jordan public schools. I love that. Did he have a truck? How did you make the sandwiches? How did you keep up with the demand? You just made sandwiches? There's a story here. You're not telling me enough because all I can hear are your pecs. Okay, so let's start from the beginning.
Also, Top Chef editors, why did you not include this anecdote on your sandwich challenge? We literally had a challenge where you had to make sandwiches. Why not have Ali give like a moment? Or was it actually, you know what, was that sandwich challenge only for Sylvia and what's-his-face, Tom, when they had to make sandwiches to save themselves? Oh, okay. So it was not a general sandwich challenge, so they couldn't put Ali's anecdote in there.
You're right. That was a general challenge. Also, Ali's... I think they probably saw this and were like, so did somebody die? No, nobody died. I just made a sandwich. So did you get your feelings hurt in some way? Nope, just made good sandwiches. They're like, okay, yeah, we're not going to be able to work with this, okay? Just don't use this story. It was in the B somewhere, you know?
Yeah, a question. Were you addicted to drugs and living in a gutter and then figured out that sandwiches were going to save you by any chance? Is that how your sandwiches were took off?
Do you have a child you haven't claimed yet living in a trailer park somewhere that you just hope to spend more time with one day?
Is your child a sandwich? Because we would accept that if you want to FaceTime your sandwich child.
Did you have a sandwich baby that you're refusing to acknowledge?
Are you adopting a sandwich in a different country?
Did you adopt a sandwich that got addicted to heroin?
Are you about to get married to a sandwich by any chance?
I need something.
Saving up for your wedding?
Yeah, anything? I need something here. He's like, well, one time I made a soggy sandwich. That's as good as we're going to go. Soggy sandwich. Put it in the episode. We need to make this 5 hours long. Okay, guys, wrap.
So then Tom, so Gabri makes his bed. He makes his bed all nice. And then Tom comes over. He's like, oh, good morning, sunshine. Oh, did you make your bed? That is so funny. And he jumps on the bed and just starts pounding on it to like make it all loose again. And you just can tell Gabri's like, morning is for tight bedtime, bed sheets.
I thought it was cute that Gabri just laughs at him. Like he didn't even get all pissed off because Tom's such a little prick. So Tom's like, oh, here we are, the top five. And Gabri's like, no, the top four. He goes, no, because five, because somebody is coming back. So now it's four, but then there's going to be five. So I call it top five until I leave their grocery cart at the store at Whole Foods on accident. Accident. Sorry, I'm such a clown.
I forgot. If you listen to this, I'm sorry. So then now they're driving to the kitchens and Ali is like, so, Buddha, what got you into cooking? You also have a passion for sandwiches that got you through high school? And he's like, actually, case apparently didn't watch my last season. My father was a chef and all his brothers were chefs. And I just remember going into the kitchen and he was making an omelet and he flipped that omelet. It was like in slow motion. And when it landed on my face, I said, ew, that's a hot omelet. It's burning my eyeballs. And ever since then, I've wanted to be a chef.
My father started it at a very young age. I don't even think I could have avoided it. I was put into a mold, I suppose you could say.
I was molded into the man I am now by my father.
So he hasn't stopped cooking since he was 12 years old, which is hot. So then Ali's like, last challenge in London. I hope we meet the Earl of Sandwich. You know, we don't really celebrate Christmas where I come from, but... we do have a big sandwich that comes to town once a year, and I sit on its lap and to this day get my picture taken. Thank you.
Santa-witch. You know, when I went to America, it was a wonderful trip the first time I went, but I have to say I was literally sent into a catatonic shock when I saw that they have an establishment called Witch Witch. Blew my mind.
By the way, Christmas is celebrated in Jordan. For all of you who just threw a pita at this Lebanese person who doesn't know, I accept it. I accept the pitas to the face. Christmas is celebrated in Jordan. So there's my pre-apology for all of y'all.
Well, yeah. Didn't you see Ali talking about his Christmas sandwiches he made in high school?
I would make wreaths.
Made with frankincense and myrrh.
Wreaths. Every holiday, I would make a wreath out of sandwiches. And the whole town would get addicted to them.
Sarah's like, yeah, well, who got chopped in the leg? Because that was my husband. Quit talking about your pussy stories about sandwiches. I grew up swimming amongst leeches and lampreys, and I got hungry. So that's why I started cooking.
My mom thought my husband's leg was a sandwich, and she chopped right into that fucker.
You want a good origin story? Here's a good origin story. One time my mom was making spinach and my dad ran over a cat in the street and we took it to the vet and the vet thought it was dinner. So we brought the spinach from home and actually it was pretty good.
So this is the actual note I wrote down. I swear to God. Buddha, I hope we get to go to France. That's for sure. I've got a Marie Antoinette bust mold ready for a Jell-O cake decapitation challenge. That is what I wrote before knowing what this was. And guess what? It is. We go to the kitchen and Padma is standing in front of mountains of Jell-O cakes. You guys, I'm a Jell-O psychic. I felt it coming.
You knew the Jell-O was coming. You were actually ready for the jelly.
Did they? I do think I am ready for this jelly. You want to argue about it? Now, did they show this in the previews last week? And I'm just an idiot and I saw it, but I
honestly don't remember.
I wonder if I'm one of those people who thinks I'm psychic, but it's because I saw it in a preview and I'm not psychic at all. God, I hate myself now.
I honestly don't remember. I do remember that the Trump lawyer that they talk about later, we did see. So I don't remember about the jelly. But good morning, chefs. We have dissected Gail Simmons and put all her body parts on display behind me.
Hi, chefs. I'm just going to shimmy for you because we're almost at the finale. So wait for it. Wait for it. Here it goes. Hello. So you guys seem to have gotten some sleep. That was a really tough elimination challenge. Gail hadn't eaten that much cheese in a very long time. She was in the bathroom for 2 hours. Anyway, after the last one, Sarah gave me a blanket as a parting gift, and it actually stuck to me. I had to run to the doctor for the rash it gave me. It's not going to get any easier for you or for my arm from here on out.
I tried to pawn it off onto Gail, but she refused the blanket. She said, I already have my sleeping bag. And then she actually crawled into one of the Wellingtons.
Oh, so she's like, well, it's not going to get any easier. And Gabri goes, it was never easy. And she goes, oh, I know about him, Betty. But the winner of Last Chance Kitchen has been crowned. And one chef will be returning to the competition when?
Right now.
Any ideas who's coming back? And you can tell by the Walmart exclusive color of this jeans.
I was about to say, okay, we'll give you a hint. Here's a $25 sneaker. Here.
I mean, that is the most recognizable ankle I've ever seen in my life. I didn't even know I had a knack for that, but I was like, that is most definitely Sarah.
Here's a hint. Please take a close-up look of someone wearing a Kleds sneaker, not Keds. This is just the off-brand version.
You might have seen this sneaker on a YouTube video rushing really quickly into a Best Buy and punching people in the face on a Black Friday. That's right. It's Sarah.
You may remember these sneakers as a complimentary add-on to some headphones you bought from a vending machine. A very specific vending machine, but it does exist.
So, please welcome the winner of Last Chance Kitchen and the owner of a really crusty blanket, the star of Sarah Pump Rules, it's Sarah.
Sarah Pump Rules. Get it.
You're that welcome to the dad chef. Let me shimmy. Yes, chefs.
Anyway, and so Sarah comes in and goes, those boys thought they were rid of me. I'm back, bitches. Oh, yes, we smelled you coming.
So we see a clip. It's three people. It's Amar, Sarah, and Charbel. But Sarah won with cabbage. And we don't even get to see Amar. But I love when people win with things like cabbage. You know, like you go with your badass. Sarah probably was like, you know, well, I'm going to do something with cabbage, something fucking southern. That's what. Because in the South, we treat cabbage differently. We put buttermilk, butter, baby ass, set a baby's ass on that cabbage, tell it a story. That's how we do it in the South. They're like, well, loved your southern cabbage. Well, that is the most southern cabbage I've ever tasted in my life. Sarah, you were the winner of Last Chance Kitchen.
And by the way, the little clip we see is Gail, because I guess Gail was a judge. I didn't watch the episode. Gail comes up and inspects it and goes, wow, that sure is charred. Like your hair, Gail. Sorry, that's the voice of me penetrating Last Chance Kitchen from Top Chef.
So Sarah's like, I'm ready to win. I am inspired, all right? There's a fire going on in this belly right now, and it's not heartburn.
Sarah, let me be the first to congratulate you on winning Last Chance Kitchen with the boutonniere you got for your prom. Cabbage.
Welcome back, Sarah. So how does it feel to be back on national TV as a poor person instead of just the internet as a poor person? Do you feel poor or less poor?
Also, did your father happen to strike Tom's leg with an axe while you were making your meal?
All right. Time for your final quickfire challenge here in London. Who's ready to break the mold? The mold.
With a U. Spelled with a U. M-O-U-L-D. Because we're in London. Ooh. Yeah. Just what British people say. And I'm honorary British, by the way. I don't think you know that.
By the way, let me put on my very serious artist sunglasses that are just slightly tinted so that I don't have to see the world as the same color as the rest of you poors. And so just pretend she has them on because I don't have them with me. I wanted to say Top Chef was nominated for 3 Critics' Choice Awards. And my show, Taste the Nation, was nominated for 4 Critics' Choice Awards. So I would just like to say to whoever these critics are, thank you.
Did you see that clip? I did. Also, my category on Jeopardy, which I hosted, the category that is, was nominated for an Oscar. So thank you, Academy, for breaking all the rules to nominate my questions.
Whoever these Oscars are. Also, for the rest of you poor people, since Instagram is free, be sure to go over there and check out the very hilarious video that Ben made of Padma from Jeopardy. Okay.
Why, thank you.
Did you mean to make such a good video?
Thank you. Padma also posted a video recently, which admittedly is like a sad video, but because it's Padma, kind of made me laugh, where she had just seen a pig being slaughtered, and she's like, well, you know, I eat a lot of pork, so I figured I'd see where it came from, and, I mean, they have teeth and eyes and a nose. I'm still going to eat it, but it was sad.
It was so sad, but it really makes it more special now that I'm chomping on the dead thing.
Anyway, as my dear friend, everyone in the royal family would say, let's move on.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
Hey, I'm Brooke.
And I'm Arisha.
And we're the hosts of Wondery's podcast, Even the Rich, where we bring you absolutely true and absolutely shocking stories about the most famous families and the biggest celebrities the world has ever seen.
Our newest series is all about the teen movie icon, Gabrielle Union. After spending her childhood trying to assimilate and breaking into a racist industry, Gabrielle thought her success meant someone else had to fail. But when she's faced with hard choices beyond her control, she realizes that the only way to find real success is to come together and build community.
In our series, Gabrielle Union, Bigger, Badder, Better, we'll tell you how she shook off her need for perfection, found her true self, and created the life she always wanted.
Follow Even the Rich wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on Amazon Music or the Wondery app.
So,
chefs, I would like to introduce you to your guest judge, the co-founder of Bompas and Par, the duo behind the resurgent of the jelly craze. Please welcome a tiny man who really loves Jell-O and cum bangs from Something About Mary, Sam Bompas.
Sam, welcome. Now, what does it feel like to be called Sam Bompas? That is a hilarious name, isn't it?
Your name especially is Sam Bompas. Especially for a bottom. Doesn't it just seem like you're asking for it?
I have a question, Sam Bompas. Is it possible to be named Sam Bompas and not become a jelly specialist?
Are you mad at the sock company called Bombas? Did they really steal your thunder? What if they made Bombas out of jelly? What would you say about that? What would you say about that, Sam?
Also, what are these words coming out of my mouth? You're the co-founder of Benham and Froud, but also Bompas and Fire. What do you actually... Who are you?
What do any of those words mean together?
Are you famous? Are you related in any way to my dear friend Angela Merkel? Or are you just a strange named person?
So, yeah, he's a little blonde with big cum bangs from Something About Mary. So he comes in and he's like, hello, chefs. It's a real hair nod, hair nod. He does that thing where he nods just to make his bangs that are standing straight up go boing, boing, boing. That's like his express. He has expressive cum bangs. I love
it. He does. So, Sam, I want to know how you got interested in jellies. Were you the one who invented this mat that I'm standing on?
Sam, how did you get into jellies? Was it anal?
Sam, was peanut butter just too popular? You had to go a different route? Tell me how this happened. How embarrassed are your parents?
Sam, tell us when you realized toast was boring alone.
Sam, how does it feel when you eat food that doesn't wiggle? Is that strange for you?
So, Sam, how did you encapsulate an entire business based on Gail's feelings every time she sees me in a bathing suit?
So he's like, well, I've been jellying for 15 years now. Oh, well, you look great. I mean, I would never know how much of you was made of jelly. No, it's an act. So I've been jellying, and myself and my best friend wanted to do something fun on the weekend, and we thought Jell-O held the key. Oh, that's interesting. Usually when I want to do something fun with my friend on the weekend, we just go to a movie premiere that we were invited to.
I know. What a fucking odd friend. Like, God, I'm bored. We need to think of something to do on the weekend. We should get into jellying. Oh, my God. Did you read my fucking mind?
Well, I know jelly can be temperamental. Like Gail, when she has to fast for a physical. My advice to you is duck, because there'll be a lot of plates being thrown.
Yeah, well, we wanted to have fun, so we've decided jelly held the key. She goes, oh, that happened to me once. You know, jelly was actually sweet enough to come unlock my door with the extra key I gave her. I said, thanks, Gail. Sorry, you can't come in. I don't have any carbs here anyway right now. Bye.
Bye, Gail. So he goes, but there's always a little bit of Jeopardy with jelly. Oh, yes, I was on Jeopardy. Thank you so much. Here's my autograph. So good to meet you. Okay, good luck with your jellies.
He's like, well, the key to jelly, too much of the agents. Listen, you need the agents to make jelly work. So too much and it's like eating a bouncy ball. Too little and you're left with an embarrassing puddle on the plate. Been there, done that. Here's what you want, chefs. A little quiver. Oh my God, I'm having a shimmying episode. Anybody else? I'm on Jeopardy.
Who here has an agent? I'm sorry. Unless you're represented by WME, CAA, or UTA, you will not be able to participate in this challenge, apparently.
Today's quick fire challenge. Create a dessert that includes jelly, and you have to use a mold. You don't have to use the mold exclusively for the jelly. Here's how it works. You have 30 minutes to make your desserts. Then they're going to set an hour. Then we're going to all get in a circle around Sarah and make fun of her stupid, terrible, ugly jeans. Then we're going to push her. Then we're going to take off one of her shoes and throw them at her head and say, spend more money on your shoes, stupid. Okay, then you'll have 15 minutes to plate.
At which point, I'm going to FaceTime my dear friend Lena Waithe, and I'm going to hold the camera up to jelly and then one of your faces, and she has to guess which is the one that's actually made of gelatin.
The winner will have an advantage. The winner will have an advantage. Your final London challenge.
All right, chefs, good luck. Your time starts now. Run, Bompas. Hurry, Bompas, they'll steal your wallet. They're all poor.
Whenever... Whenever it's time to start the challenge, she says start, and then she grabs the guest and like pushes them and this runs the hell thing. Out of the way.
She's like, the pores are coming. They're violating the space that we agreed upon that my agent said had to be happening. Sorry,
they know
I can
we've
jelly.
Got alms. Run, Bumpus, run.
Bumpus, let's go running through that door where it's safe for you. So now the chefs are cooking and Sarah's like, well, let's get down to the jelly. Okay, gelatin can be finicky, but you know what? Tom loves those gels and Buddha might just faint for the sheer love of the molds. I mean, you just see like Buddha knocking things over with his boner over this challenge.
Buddha is so excited to have molds. He's like, there is no way I'm not. He's like, there's no way I'm setting jelly in a mold for now because I know molds. You know what I love? Molds. That's what. I've got so many molds. I love molds. I love doing an orange blossom. I'm going to do an orange blossom, but I've got an orange blossom to mold it into. What a coinky dink. I've got mold shaped like a coincidence. I'm going to jerk off into that. God, I love molds.
It's like going crazy. So then Gabri's going to use flower molds and Tom is working on a goat cheese panna cotta and he explains his choice by saying, I think goat cheese panna cotta is actually really cool. It's just funny to eat because it like looks like vanilla panna cotta and then you bite into it and it's like, oh my God, it's goat cheese on the inside. Well, you should have saved that one for the next challenge, you dum-dum.
Yeah. Can I say something about goat cheese? It's important. So I've been really trying to like get healthy, you know, because the doctor was like, you're going to die. Actually, the Botox lady took my blood pressure and was like, you're dying. So I've been like really trying to eat healthy and stuff because I want to live. But yesterday, I'm so bored with salad. Okay. I'm bored with it. Mm. I need something else. So yesterday I was like, you know what I'm getting? Goat cheese. And I opened that little tube of goat cheese and I put it on my salad. I don't think I've ever been so grateful. Okay. Mm. I almost cried at the taste of that goat cheese. So goats, thank you. Thank you for what you do, not only for me, but for this country, for this world. Thank you, goats. God damn
goats,
it.
Goats are wonderful. I feel bad for people who don't like goat cheese because it's lovely.
It's amazing. Lovely. If I was on this show, I would get a mold of a goat and I would make a jello out of a goat and then I would milk it and then I would wait for a couple of weeks until that milk turned into cheese. Okay, that's how much I love you, goats.
Yeah. That's a great ode to goats. So then Tom is like, pranks are my superpower. As a kid, I would always say I want to be a chef or a clown. Both inspire people in a sense. One inspires people to eat. One inspires people to have childhood trauma. And then I decided to go to clown school, but it's not as fun as I thought. So chef it is.
I'll bet.
I'm like, what is German clown school like?
I'll bet. German clown school cannot be fun. I used to work for a traveling circus called
Cirque du Soleil.
Pomp, Duck, and Circumstance. It was like a fine dining restaurant in a circus tent that would travel around. And there were German clowns in it. Okay, and let me tell you, they were frowny-faced clowns. Okay, that's what they were. It's not a fun place. Also, no clown school is fun. You know clowns are depressing fucking people. And you know they take themselves too seriously in the clown school. They're like, God damn it, you didn't get... What is this, just a foam nose to you? It's more than that. What are we going for? What are we feeling? It's like, calm down, person.
I feel
clown
like
school.
I feel like German clowns wear suits and hold briefcases, and they sit in the car in a very organized way. And when they come out like very seriously, and they go up to the audience and go, "You will laugh now. Now is the time to laugh." And then they go back into their car.
You make laugh noise now.
Now is the time for laughter.
So now Ali is working on a cremeau with fruit and he's like, normally, you have a feeling about that one?
I don't like it. I don't like this.
Me neither.
No.
Gross. Well, you know, I'm not a fruit dessert sort of person.
I'm so by then, proxy, not a berry person. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to use berries. And I was like, oh, fuck you and your sandwich truck. Ben doesn't like berries.
You're like, excuse me, sir. That is not nice to do to Ben on this. So he's like, normally, it takes 4 hours to set, which is, you know, about 30 sandwiches that you can make. And Sarah's like, I actually sent jello shots to Padma on my season. And we call it the jiggle juice back then. And we see a flashback of Padma on Top Chef Kentucky having this like whiskey jello shot. She's like, oh my God. Oh, it's so strong. And then Captain Sandy is there for some reason. And she goes, no, too strong, huh? Okay, let me go in the back and have a word with the chef.
Hi. You're a fail wind, okay? Okay, Sarah? You're what wind would be just failing, okay? You don't blow flags. Sailboats can't move with your kind of wind. You are a failure of wind.
Just three courses. Only make three courses, okay?
So Sarah's like, yeah, we called it Jiggle Juice, and she renamed it Gale Sweat. So, you know, something positive came out of it. So then Sarah's like, well, this time I'm not making that shit. So instead, she's doing a basil buttermilk. God, this girl loves a buttermilk, doesn't she? Basil buttermilk Jell-O.
That, I'm not mad at that, because I'm not a big Jell-O person either, but I would have a basil buttermilk Jell-O. And she's going to make it layered. You know, the bottom layer is going to be Jell-O. Top layer, crap weeds that you plant when the crops are recovering.
So Gabri is doing a tres leches, and he's like, and you cannot do this without the cake. But don't worry, it's fast. I can do it in the microwave. And I was like, seriously? I'm looking that up. Do you know how to? I feel like that's dangerous to know how to do that.
You never made a mug cake before? Have you ever made one of those?
No. I've made a flourless chocolate cake, but I've made that in the oven. I mean, it's super easy. I don't even know why I'm saying that. It has nothing to do with anything.
You're like, I've made a different type of cake. No, a mug cake. There's a million recipes for them where you basically put like an egg and a flour and I don't know, maybe some other stuff. Mm. And you put it in the mug and then you microwave it for a certain amount of time and it puffs up and becomes like a little mini cake. And it's kind of like a fun novelty. I'm sure there's like a spectrum. I'm sure there's some mug cakes that are wonderful. I remember doing it once or twice and it was like fun, but it's kind of like a weird cake. It's kind of like chewy, but it's a cake. So you're kind of like, this is so cool. I just made a cake. I just made a cake in my mug. In 2 minutes, I made a cake.
Oh, that sounds so good. So, okay. So he's doing that. And then, like my old dog, Xena, a Jack Russell. I don't know why I'm going down memory lane. Am I about to die? Okay, so no. Xena, I used to also have a rabbit when I had Xena, and Xena would just boing, 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 boing to look at the rabbit that was on a table. And that is what Gabri is doing in the microwave. He's just like boing, 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 trying to see if the microwave is cooking his cake.
You could see the disdain they have for microwaving on the show because they put the microwave like all the way up on like the ceiling. It's like all the way up there. You know, I didn't even know they had a microwave in this kitchen.
Apparently they do. And I can't believe they do either because chefs really look down on microwaves so much. Got this dog. I'm sorry. We're watching Bueller build a fort. Yes, it's because you pushed a pillow. All right. Just get the pillow back then. What are you going to do about it?
Long as we're talking about things in the background, I will say that on this video, I did have an image of a jelly behind me. And it was so gross. I could only keep it up for about 30 seconds before I just took it off. And I kind of want to put up another jelly image, but it's
jelly. I feel like it's hard to find a good solid jelly image. Also, you need to get a green screen because your head just fuzzes out all the time. People are using, is that just not working for you, babe? And we'll check on you, later.
Listen, if I put a green screen up behind, I don't have room. I don't have room to put a green screen. I'm just going to back into it all the time. It's going to fall. It can't fall over, but it's, you're just going to. You know,
we're going to figure it out. Okay, guys, that was our little personal break time. Okay, we got our personal stuff out of the
way. Wow. Okay, so he's microwaving his pound cake, and then they have like their 1 hour wait. So Sarah's like, okay, everyone, well, we've got an hour, so I can tell you about Last Chance Kitchen if anyone cares. No one? Like, no, I'm just going to cut commercial on my story?
Please, no, because okay. You know she will take the whole hour. And then let me tell you what I was thinking about that cabbage. I said, you think you're going to get the best of me, cabbage? And you ain't seen nothing yet. And I thought, what would my southern ancestor? Like, shut up. Can we just take a break for this hour?
So now we're back from commercial. Everyone comes back in. Gabri wasn't able to check in on his pound cake because like the microwave was still going when time ran out. So now he goes and fetches his pound cake out of the microwave. And several of them, their jellies are set, but Gabri's is not set. It's all kind of like
this. Yeah, and there's nothing he can do about it now, right?
Right.
So he puts it in liquid nitrogen, which is oddly what everybody does when it's like when all else fails, freeze the fuck out of it, right?
Yeah.
Because we see Ollie doing that as well. And Tom's like, I feel excellent. Everything is wiggling on my plate. So I thought the last second, you know what I'm going to do? Put some popcorn.
Tears from clown school. Have any of Tom's last minute additions ever worked out? Because he does this all the time, and I feel like it's always something wacky and terrible.
You know what popcorn's not good with? Anything else. It's good with candy. But whenever people are like, I'm going to put popcorn on this dish, it's not good with dishes. I've tried to do it too because I see it on shows like this. The texture is just too aggressive for your teeth to deal with anything else, don't you think?
Yeah, and it doesn't really stay crisp. It usually sort of softens in a weird way where it's like chewy, but not chewy to be a fun chew. It's not crispy enough to be a fun crisp. Don't do it, people. So now it's time. Okay, chefs, time's up. Bring your gals forward. So Gabri is first, and he's made his dulce de leche panna cotta with strawberry and raspberry coulis. And so because his was not set, he basically hid his jelly underneath the cake and just covered it up. So Padma's looking at it. She's like, oh, where's the molded part of your dessert? I don't see it. I don't get it. Do I use a spoon? How do I eat this?
He's like, it's in the bottom. And Bompos is like, well, I've been digging around here. I cannot. Bang, dong, dong, dong. I cannot find it. And he's like, it didn't set. She goes, oh, wow, the truth. Finally, liar pants. Why don't you go back there and think about how you just tried to lie to me? Padma Lakshmi, nominee of 4+3 Critics' Choice Awards. Thank you, critics.
Wow, well, at least we know that even though your jelly didn't set, you made a beautiful cake in the oven, right? In the microwave? What? I just sensed that from your tears. Thank you.
Where
critics.
Did we get the microwave from? Where did America steal the microwave from? You'll find out on the next Taste the Nation. So Ali is
Do
next.
Do you put ketchup on your microwave? That's from the latest Taste the Nation episode, season premiere.
So Ali is next, and Padma goes, wow, I can see the quiver. It's like Gail standing on a subway. Well done.
It's like Gail getting ready to eat a Charleston chew.
So Ali did a dark chocolate crumble, a black croissant, and pistachio crumble. And now to me, okay, I see his like simple little mold of the jiggle, like lame. It just looked like jelly, literal jam. Berry jam thrown onto a plate and some like very simplistic blobs. I wasn't impressed.
I actually thought it looked lovely and refined. And even though there was the presence of a berry, which I hate, I actually thought it was like a lovely little thing there. And so Sam's like, oh, well, you know what? You got a really good wobble on that. And that makes me smile. I mean, well, what doesn't make you smile? Your last name is Plompus or whatever it is. I mean, you probably had so much taunting in your life. Ha!
So then Tom and Bompas is like, very pretty. I'd love to set your wobble. And Padma's like, keep it in your pants, pervy gel, jelly perv. Okay, Tom, go ahead. Go ahead. So Tom's like, I did goat cheese, panna cotta, cherry jelly, beetroot, dessert, curry, popcorn, cider gel. I was like, wait, could you slow down? Because at least half of that sounded nasty. Okay, I love the panna cotta, love the goat cheese. Great. Love the cherry jelly. I'm with you.
Good.
Beetroot discs.
Beets starting to get a little funky. Could work. I'm open to it. Could work. Curry popcorn.
No.
It's actually more the curry that's the...
Cider gel.
He tried it.
Not cider gel either, because you know it's not sweet cider gel. It's like apple cider vinegar gel, right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I was like,
this is negative. We say no. So Padma's like, are these beetroot discs your jelly? I can't tell. Let me put it this way. Did you mean to make jelly out of this beetroot disc?
Well, the panna cotta is made with gelatin as well, obviously. Sorry, that didn't mean to sound offensive. It was a German clown.
So then we go to Buddha, and his is served in like a little crystal glass with a little crystal cover, and they have to uncover it, which of course Bompas is like... living his own doll's life. I mean, this guy's fucking thrilled. The cumbangs are like a bumping. Okay. So Buddha's like, the orange blossom shape in the middle is my mold. It comes with saffron ice cream with orange blossom jelly and orange blossom panna cotta.
Yeah. So by the way, he didn't use the mold on his jelly. He just did it regularly. He just put the jelly in the cup and then he molded the ice cream, which I actually feel like is a little bit of a cheap workaround, because isn't it harder to get the jelly to set into a mold? I mean, ice cream you just put in there and then it molds up right away.
Yeah, but they said specifically that you didn't have to use the mold for your jelly. So he's like, why the fuck would I do that when I don't have to? It's like, I'm going to use a really pretty, because that mold was really intricate, you know?
It was. And so, it was a nice return to form for Buddha. Because he made another literal dish of, I'm going to use orange blossom, so I'm going to shape it like an orange blossom and call it orange blossom.
Three times. There's three different types of orange blossom and my orange blossom, orange blossom. So Bumper's like, oh my God, this is amazing. It's just hard to put even my spoon into it because it's so beautiful. And Padma's like, yeah, he came armed to the teeth with mold. Where's the jelly dummy?
He came armed to teeth with molds just the way Gail comes armed to the teeth with Three Musketeer bars when she goes to the movies.
Gail literally comes everywhere armed to the teeth with teeth. So it's actually...
It's prizes of all the people she beat to the buffet at Golden Corral.
So Sarah's has no jiggle. I was like, uh-oh. So she did a layered buttermilk strawberry jelly with fresh berries, ginger, and pecans. And there's a layer of strawberry basil there. And Padma goes, oh. And she looks at it and she just winces. She's like, ew.
Huh. Tastes like Kentucky. I thought we were done with that season.
So Bumper's like, the strawberry is very delicate, isn't it? And then the editors go, uts. Like,
yeah.
Why are you giving it a... They liked it.
They're like, yeah, that was a, that, that seemed like a premature tss.
Yeah.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Well, now it's time for the results. Well, as usual, there's some that just taste like shit. And then there's some that also taste like shit. So which are the least, which are the more shitty of the shitty ones? Sam. So Sam says, well, I thought this challenge was very difficult, but there were some swashbuckling flavors and sensational presentations and there were a delight to eat. Okay, that's enough. You don't have Critic Choice nomination, so keep it simple.
Yeah, we didn't ask for a bombagina monologue. All right there. Now, listen, we know that there were some of these were more Gales than Padmas. So who else is a Gale? Go with that. And he's like,
Gabri.
Tom, I salute. I'm sorry, it's Tom, is it?
Well, Gabri was first. Not enough of mold. Not enough mold. That's funny because I always say the exact opposite when I see Gail's hair. Wow, so much mold in there.
Don't inhale Gail's hair. I'm just warning you right now.
Gail's hair can't be with us today. It's being remediated.
Who else? Who else, Judge? Who else, Bampa? And Bumper's like, Tom, I salute your ambition to getting all the jellies together, but I would appreciate our clown autobiography on paper instead of my plate. This is disgusting. Padma's like, okay, now for some good news. My show, Taste the Nation, has been nominated for more Critics' Choice Awards than this show here. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Okay, good news on the show. I don't really know any of your names. Just go ahead and continue with this, Bumper.
Now for some good news. I see London, I see France. I see unfamous people who I still will never talk to after this season. Pants. Okay. Okay, so here now for some good news. For poor people, poor good news. Ali, you're on top. I love the flavor of the black currant, and I thought your chocolate was luscious.
And Sarah's like, I couldn't resist wielding my spoon like a weapon and going into battle once again. Like, Sarah, I mean, welcome back, but who said that?
Sam said that about Sarah.
Oh, okay. I was like, Sarah, what happened to Sarah? She just annoyed the hell out of me, right? It was stupid. I should have known it was Bumpus.
I know. Sarah just suddenly started talking like a British dandy who loves jelly.
Like, what is with Sarah? Of course it was Sam. I couldn't resist wielding my spoon like a weapon and going into battle once again. Okay, that makes more sense. So then he loved Buddha's ice cream making.
Going into battle, swashbuckling flavors. Okay, simmer down, Elizabeth Taylor.
Because he did say that earlier. That was one of his thing, right? He's like, I was swashbuckling my... He does say swashbuckling.
He said swashbuckling flavors. So yeah. I think he was like keying himself up to be able to say, I felt like I was going into battle with this jelly. A jelly battle on the high seas.
Mm. So then Buddha, they loved his mold making with the ice cream. Bold move. And Padma's like, beautiful, classic, blah, 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 combinations. You're going to win. We all know it. Okay.
Saffron and orange blossom are a beautiful, classic combination that I invented. Thank you. Thank you. And to the critics who nominated my combination of saffron and orange blossom for best flavor combination of the past 600 years, I just want to say, #blessed, thank you so much. I'll be talking about it on Jeopardy, which I own now.
Well, the chef who really delivered used the mold exceptionally and put smiles on the faces of everyone in battle that day, whether you were in the front lines or whether you were working the cannons or the arrows in the back. Chef Buddha.
Wow, what a surprise. So then Ali is sad.
Padma's Kadali. Like, congrats, Buddha.
Congrats, Buddha. You won a jelly challenge. How does that make you feel? You're the king of smuckers.
Okay, well, you just won an advantage. Now, Dandy Bombas, go and take your bangs with you. Okay, bye.
Congrats, Buddha. You just won an advantage. Unfortunately, that advantage is neither wealth nor fame.
Chefs, there's only one challenge between you and Paris. Things are about to get like one of Sarah's family blankets. Sticky before the air hits it and it eventually dries out and looks kind of bleached.
Things are also about to get tricky, too. Tricky and sticky, two of my favorite combinations when it comes to Gail describing her shampoos. Anywho, today, I mean, in 18th century England, which is literally the opposite of today. In 18th century England, a fashionable person's taste. So try to imagine someone other than Gail that we're talking about here.
Okay, just imagine the opposite of Sarah. Okay, everyone look at those jeans and just say, opposite.
Think about me in a powdered wig. Great. A fashionable person's taste was always under scrutiny. Oh, wait, it's not me. I was not under scrutiny. Everyone was nominating me for best harpsichord use in a game show in the 17th century.
I was under scrutiny. And guess what? I won scrutiny. I won. Thank you.
Scrutiny was a very popular game show in England in 1767. Later, it was renamed Jeopardy.
So, back then, everyone was under scrutiny for what they decided to eat. Dinner came in the form of Trumpleur ceramics. And they're like, what? She's like, Trumpleur ceramics. I'm like, huh? Trumpleur ceramics. Can we bring someone else in here? I'm exhausted. All right.
Hold
my
on.
Vocal cords need to rest on gel mat.
Let me help. Maybe some hand gestures will help sell this. Trumpleur means to fool to trick the eye. Trumpleur eye. She starts pointing at her eye and moving her hands up and down like this. A Trumpleur tricks your eye. See, back then in the 1700s, the British people really understood the value of making fun of the poor. They would put fake food out on the table and watch the poor people take bites out of porcelain. It was a great time.
Basically, it's a trick of the eye. It's like why Gail wears patterns all of the time. In rich homes, you'd see a variety of porcelain items on the table to spark conversation among the guests. Don't you think they had enough to talk about? What the fuck? You needed a ceramic pea in a pod to get your guests talk? How about, hey guys, maybe we should try plumbing? Like, why weren't they talking about that? Like, hey guys, have we invented toilet paper yet? Because my ass itches, okay?
Let's take a time machine to 1789 at the peak of Trumpleur times. Hi, I'm Madame Padma, and you're at my dinner party. Here's how it sparks conversation. Hey, Tom, you think Gail's going to eat the porcelain again? Maybe. Oh, she just did it. Wow. Great talk.
Oh, do you have a napkin, Padma? Use your dress. It could use all the help.
Guess what? That's porcelain, too. You just got Trumpleur. She thought the napkin was cloth.
By the end of that dinner, Gail had as many teeth as Sarah left. Okay, let's move on. There's a long history of optical illusion in the arts. Chefs have created visually stunning dishes that trick the eye. Your final elimination challenge here in London borrows from a top chef, your very own, from top chef...
country that Sarah's never been to challenge.
Paris, okay? So impress us if you want to make it to the finals. Go!
So Sarah's like, I personally don't like to trick someone with my cooking.
Wow, how bold. That is, you're such a good person. That's amazing.
Buddha's like, oh, Trumpleur, that's like a doppelganger. One thing has to look like the other. No, Buddha, a doppelganger is a doppelganger. A Trumpleur is a Trumpleur. Okay,
I just loved the, like, I'm a good person. I try not to to lie to people through food. You know what I believe in? Honesty in food. That's what I believe in.
An optical illusion is not a lie. It's just something cool. You know?
It cracked me up. So she's like, I don't know what to do. And Buddha's like, one thing has to look like another. Whether you want to cook one food item that looks like another food, or take another food that looks like an inanimate object, or take a girl and make it seem like it's well-dressed for once. We just need to be fooled.
It's kind of like Sarah's Kettle sneakers. K-A-D-L-E. Not a real brand. Talk about a trompe l'oeil.
So Tom's like, on the boat we serve cigar that's not a cigar. This challenge is made for me. Oh, by the way, he'll be serving at Hatfield House, where Queen Elizabeth learned she'll be queen.
Where Queen Elizabeth learned she'll be queen, and then laughed when everyone ate all her porcelain steaks. What a conversation starter.
You'll be serving the best chefs in the UK, including two Michelin star and whisper talker, Jeremy Chan. They're like, oh my God, Jeremy Chan.
Including Jeremy Chan, who was given a curse that he's not allowed to speak at full voice until he earns his third star, which Clara Smith stole from him with her.
The biggest shock here is that Jeremy Chan didn't show up in a black turtleneck and act like he was being interviewed for his brilliant performance in Godzilla, like Laura Linney. I'm sorry, this is like our 10th recap today. Completely bonkers. But he is very actor studio, isn't he? He's like, oh yes. It's like, oh God, can I just tell you? I really loved the way that you made a carrot look like a fork.
Speak up, non-3-star Michelin chef.
Guess what I think I'm attracted to, by the way? Quiet people. I never really knew that. I've never dated a quiet person. Well, one, and it didn't work out well. But I realized after Jeremy Chan, I'm in love with quiet people. I need to meet some because I found his non-need to be loud and obnoxious just so comforting.
Well, he's also hot, by the way. Second of all, I thought he was hot, but you know what it was? It's not so much that he was quiet, like his volume. I mean, yes, he was not loud, but he does that thing where he's like, I could be louder, but I'm withholding. Because there's some people who are quiet and you're like, oh God, I'm just gonna have to pretend like I know what you're saying. But like, right. He is just like, I'm just gonna draw you in. He's like doing a power play. Like
yeah. Anyway, I found it very hot, but we'll get to that. Okay, we've got some time left. So they're deciding what to make, and Padma gives Buddha an extra 30 minutes. Okay, and so then they get in their cars. And
oh, but by the way, did you know this? After you have a gal to spend at Whole Foods, 300 pounds naturally, you're going to. You get to go to Dishoom for dinner. Dishoom, which is basically just a food court for the poor. So enjoy.
Yeah, I didn't understand what she said. Wasn't it eventually called Dishroom? Or was it called Dishoom?
She's like, we don't pronounce the R in England. We just call it Dishoom.
It's silent here. Learn the local culture, Sarah. Okay, get in your cars. So, Ali is like, honestly, I have no idea what to do. Maybe a sandwich that looks like a sandwich? I have no fucking idea.
He doesn't quite get the idea, the thing. And Gabri's like, I'm going to do a Scotch Brite. And everyone's like, do you mean like a...
They're like what?
A Scotch bonnet, maybe? He's like, yeah. No, like a sponge. Like, oh... Okay,
so they say, you know, he says, the thing you use to scrub the dishes. And they're like, uh-huh. And so he tells us, we did this challenge in Mexico, and I did the sea, and the flavors were good, but I was in the middle. And then we see the dish. It's actually very pretty. It does look like a sea. Yeah. I don't know. The lump in it wasn't very sea-like. I don't know if it was supposed to be a whale made out of a fucking, not a broccoli. What are the things? Brussels sprout? I don't know what it was. Mm-hmm. But it was creative. It was cool. So I was thinking maybe he's going to try and do that, but like make a sea sponge look like a coral or something, look like something. But
yeah.
No, he meant a dishwashing dish sponge.
Chefs, for this challenge, we want you to use a household item that can be stinky, filled with bacteria, and used in close contact with disgusting dishes. And then we'll eat it. Thanks.
Delicious. So he's telling us why he's doing this, and it's because his first job was as a dishwasher in a restaurant. And I was a dishwasher. Holler, dishwashers. So he wants to recreate that origin with this dish. And he's like, this is where I come from. And I wanted to become a chef. And here I am at Top Chef All Stars. And I was like, that is the cutest thing.
It's cute.
I don't want to eat a sponge.
Don't love the idea of an edible sponge, but it's a cute idea.
Yeah, make a dish. You know, make a dish that it make something that maybe like looks like a plate.
Looks like a dish. Or like a little dishwasher. Like something that looks like a little whirlpool.
That would be good. But
by the way, they did this challenge or a challenge very similar to this on Top Chef Masters 1 year, and they killed it. I remember that season. That was super cool. I was sort of hoping that it would reach those highs on this season. I don't know if it.
You know, this one. There's always an episode of the season where everybody kind of falls down.
Yeah,
and this was that episode of the season, and it's so close to the end, you just want everybody to really kill it, and it's like,
yeah, there's a lot of So Sarah's like, here's my idea, I'm gonna make a matzo ball soup and make it look like a tamale. I was like, okay, that's
I was worried.
That's a choice.
You just got back and you're my favorite at the moment, and why would you do this to me? And then she says, well, I did make a matzo ball soup in Macau, and that's the dish that sent me the finale. So I was like, and you're doing something you already did? Come on, dude. Like, no, Sarah, no. So
Tom decides he's going to make a caviar seaweed. And I actually was like, oh, this will, in my mind, I was like, oh, this will do really well because he'll be able to make it like caviar. This is dope. Up his alley. So then he starts talking about like, I'm all about sustainability, you know, so if I can use like seaweed, is it like a sustainable ingredient? And I love sustainability. That's why this shirt, my mom made it, and now I have 5 of them, and mom, I want 10 more. I'm like, you know, your mom making a shirt is not necessarily sustainability. It just means that your mom made a shirt.
Unless she made it out of, did your mom make the shirt out of the seaweed? Make it out of?
Maybe she made it out of leftover pie from their Friday night like pie extravaganzas that they have at that household.
It's from my brother, Rob. He fell out of clown school and became T-shirts. So
it is from Dead Clown. Skin of Dead Clown.
Fell Clown. Fell Sun Clown. So Ali's like, well, maybe I'll do something that looks like a plant, but it'll taste like falafel, but it'll be a garden. And I'm like, well,
what's...
I don't know.
Use vegetables and make it look like a vegetable garden.
Hmm. Yeah. So they do go to a place, and it's called Dish Room. That's what I wrote.
Anyway, oh, so it's called... It probably is dish called room. Dish Room, not Dishoom.
Well, I don't know. Should we look it up? Now I feel stupid.
No. Yes, we can.
Dish Room.
But I think London. You're right.
Dish Room from Bombay with Love. There you go.
Yeah.
It is a Bombay restaurant. It pays homage to the Irani cafes and the food of all of Bombay in an attempt to outpace the bustling city, be it London or Bombay. Oh, it's a chain. What? Oh,
wow.
I'm mortified for you.
Wow. Please enjoy your dinner at a chain restaurant that also describes where your career is headed to. The Dish Room.
Back to the Dish Room, am I right? All right. Well, enjoy. Sarah, say something. Touching. And she's like, well, you know, I had a lot of lows this time because I got kids, but God, the high was spanking y'all's ass on that lamb. And Tom's like, you did spank my ass. Spank it again. Spank it hard. The shisa.
Just like clown school. And then Gabri's like, you know, I hated you guys because you guys left me with a lamb. And, you know, he was just like waiting weeks to be able to say that. And then Ali's like, you know what? Being here and competing with you guys is a completely different experience, you know, because... Here I am, just like a hot guy, not making sandwiches. It's sort of weird for me. And then you guys are just here, and I don't know. It's just weird.
So then Gabri gets to pay with his Touch MasterCard. And that was very exciting. So then the next day, they get to Hatfield House, and it's amazing, of course. And Tom's like, it looks like a castle. And Buddha's like, it's a house. It's in the title.
and then they like get to this kitchen. It looks like the kitchen that, what was the name of that show, the Two Fat Ladies or something? Remember that British show? Remember that British show where it was like the two sisters? It was called like Two Fat Ladies, and they would arrive on like a Tom Tom sidecar thing, and they would cook meals.
Oh, I didn't watch that one.
Could you imagine if it's not called Two Fat Ladies? I'm like, remember that show called Two Fat Ladies?
I know. It's the rest of this season is just going to be me. I'm like, hi, I'm Ronnie. Welcome.
No, it's literally a show. I cannot believe you've never seen Two Fat Ladies.
I think I did. I do remember that. Yeah, I mean, I do remember something, but then it got canceled. Did it get canceled? What happened?
One of them died. But it was like a show in the late 90s, and it was like two sisters. They were in fact two fat ladies, and they would just cook these crazy British things in kitchens like these. And one of them was like really old, and one of them was just like her sister. And they're like, today we're going to be baking salmon mousse on a platter of butter wrapped in desiccated butter, deep fried, and then served in the mouth of a butter monster. And it was just the craziest shit ever. Oh my God,
I just got a boner. It's crazy.
No, you have to look up the episodes because the show's, it's amazing.
Wow.
Everyone
yeah,
should.
Okay, I'll look it up. I need a good new show to watch. I've been watching the, this needs to be longer. Sorry, everybody. But I've been watching Tournament of Champions, that Guy Fieri show on Food Network. Mm-hmm. They don't even cook hardly at all on that show. I'm like, could you do some cooking? The whole thing is like, and next, she is a star in her own right as a chef of this restaurant and that. And then they cut to Brooke, and Brooke's like, I am a star in my own right of this restaurant and that restaurant. I'm here, and I'm ready to fight. And they're like, okay, now bring the chefs out. She is a star in her own right. It's all just the same announcing over. They keep announcing people. Then the person, like, hypes himself up, and they're like, this is why I'm going to win. Then they hype them again. Then they hype them up again. Then they go out there and have to cook with a piece of poo-poo and, like, some hairspray, and that's supposed to be good. And then they go back to hype themselves up some more. And then they have to talk to Guy Fieri's awkward-ass son on the way out. Kid, how can it be season 4 or 5 and you still don't know how to be on camera? Get the fuck off my TV, you Nepo baby. You're not even a good Nepo, but you're a terrible Nepo. But that shit is triggering. I'm going to look up this Two Fat Lady show.
Two Fat, here, I'm going to put up a picture right now. I'm going to share a picture just so people can see what the Two Fat Ladies look like. And you will see these are...
This is definitely my kind of show. Like, I think this is me and my old roommate Brandy actually going. This is us going through Forest Lawn together.
This is literally what the show is. It's like that they arrive at a location in this like motorcycle and sidecar, and then they cook crazy shit, like crazy old British kind of recipes with lots of like things like a beef Wellington and beyond, you know, puddings and crazy, crazy shit.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll definitely look that up on whatever streaming channel I'm going to have to pay for now to watch this shit. So, because I've got 10 already. Okay. So, let's see.
In
the kitchen. It's gorgeous. They're getting started. And Ali's like, I don't know about this challenge. I've never had the chance to do it, but I'm looking forward to putting the Ali in finale. Ha, 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 ha. He's so cute. Oh, my God.
Wow. Hold on, I'm just going to listen. Hello, Critics' Choice. Did that joke get any nominations? Oh, Ali, I'm sorry. You'll just have to be funnier. Maybe you should check in with my dear friend, Ali Wong!
There's a bird flying in the kitchen, which is super cute.
Oh, I thought it was a butterfly.
Whatever. Oh, I don't know. I was like, maybe it's just one of those kitchens with birds. Because you know how some places, they're like, oh, birds are natural. Just let them in the kitchen.
Because I felt like it was a whimsical moment, and if it was a bird, it was less whimsical to me.
It's grosser if it's a bird.
It's gross.
Because butterflies aren't going to shit in your stew. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't need butterflies. I don't need birds.
I hope you're
near my Trump loys.
Yeah. By the way, Trump loys. Were we expecting some Trump troths? That's a dad joke for you. So Gabri is like, they're going to be so shocked when they get my dish. It's a sponge. So then Ali is doing a falafel garden, and he's describing it as a Middle Eastern parfait with two kinds of soil. I'm like, you know, here's what you need. You need to learn how to sell it because you're not really selling it right now. Okay.
Also, like making a soil is not that impressive, I think, because there are a lot of pretentious pretentious chefs out there who make quote unquote soils. Like, I've gone to restaurants where they're like, so what we'll be starting with is a smoked salmon served with a cherry mostarda over a chestnut soil. And I'm like, could you please not name component soil on my dish? Just say it's a crumble.
Yeah.
So for him to be like, I'm making a soil, it's kind of like,
Like, yeah, I'm anti-soil as well. I'm anti-soil and foams. I don't care what people say about foams. They're just disgusting, spit-looking things. I'm never going to get over them. I'm never going to start thinking they're creative. It's liquid that you've purposely shaken up and bubbled that looks like spit. There's no way you're going to convince me otherwise. I'm not eating it.
I'm less annoyed by foams, but I'm more annoyed by the pretension behind serving a foam, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So Tom is, so Ollie's working on that, and Tom is like, you know, I think about serving, you know, we often serve caviar on the ship, yeah? So I'm going to make seaweed gel, and I'm going to turn it into caviar by using agar agar, which is also the name of my favorite clown, agar agar, and I'm going to cook it and make it taste like caviar without it being caviar.
This sounds disgusting, Tom. And you know, Tom, I've been rooting for you, but seaweed, caviar, gross. Also, caviar tastes like fish, and so does seaweed. So I don't really know who you think you're fooling here.
You're just doing kind of like a vegan version. You're not doing a chumplo, you're doing a vegan version.
Right. We're poor people. See, not really. You know, you're doing like poor people version. Like, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. You're doing a substitution. You're doing a substitution. You're not doing a chumplo. That's what it is.
So then Sarah's talking about her doing her gringo Jewish tamales, as she calls them. And she's like, yeah, it's really going to be a matzo ball, but they're going to think it's a tamale. I'm like, no, you know, not creative. Not creative enough. I need more. Yeah.
Just because if you wrap it in something, it's like you're hiding it. So I don't know. Buddha, meanwhile, is like, oh, I'm going to be making a pork roulette to dip in with a cherry jelly to make it look like a cherry. And then it's going to be like a charcuterie board. Well, I'm actually going to make a charcuterie board. I'm actually going to make a cutting board made out of cherries. And then the cherry is going to be made out of cutting board. It's going to be a little swapperoo. It's going to be wild. It's all going to go into a mold.
Yeah, you know, Buddha is making a whole fucking wedding banquet. He's doing like every dish on the buffet. You know, he's like, this is big. I'm going to push myself. So then Ali goes back to his falafel in the shape of turtles. And he's like, gardens always have turtles. No, they don't. Turtles eat shit in the garden, don't they?
A turtle might get into the garden, but I don't think that gardens always have turtles. I think, like a pond garden maybe, or like a landscaping thing, but
I don't think they're looking for something in the shape of a turtle. I could be wrong.
Okay? I don't know. Like, in some ways, I can see a world in which you make a falafel turtle and I go, oh my God, it's a falafel turtle. But I don't think this is the vessel for it.
So I think this is when it finally hit me watching Gabri cook that he's actually making a Scotch Brite green and yellow sponge. That's literally what he's doing. How cute is this fucking guy? I love this guy. I still can't believe it. He's even recapping it. I'm like, what? But he's doing it. And he's removing bread crusts and making like little bread bowls to have the sponge hold things. And then he's topping them with all these herbs and stuff to make the Brillo pad, not Brillo pad, but you know, the rough part of the sponge.
Yeah.
So cute.
I was like, oh, that's sort of like that's a fun novel idea. But like, I still was like, it kind of doesn't, to me, it doesn't look like a sponge. It looks like a spongy bread that has an herb topping, if that makes sense. Like, I wasn't like lost in the illusion.
It looked completely uncreative. It doesn't look like a sponge at all. It looks like you're saying sponge, you're making a sponge cake, and then you're putting a
thing with a topping on it. It looks like it looks like if you're getting like, you know, like a crispy rice with like tuna on it. It sort of had that shape. And later on, Tom says it would have benefited from like an actual like mold to keep it like really precise. And I was thinking the same thing. Like, if it was like that, I think it would have sold it a little bit more.
I think it's the story really that sells it. Also, yeah. I saw what ended up coming out of the kitchen from everybody, and it's all not good. And really, the only truly creative ones are Tom and Buddha.
Buddha's cherries look like cherries, and Tom's caviar looked like caviar. Although Buddha also was like, I'm making bread to look like a mushroom. I was like, it looks like bread.
That's a stretch. It looks like soggy bread. Yeah.
It just looked like a adorable little, like, gougère, or whatever you call it. You
know? It looked like a little mini
muffin.
Pop.
Or something.
Popover.
Popover.
Yeah, it looked like a little tiny.
I was like, this doesn't look like a mushroom. It looks lovely, but pudding, not a mushroom.
As they'd call it there.
Pudding. So then Sarah decides that she's going to use molds. Because she's like, well, everyone else is doing it, so I'm going to make a mold of a carrot, because in matzo ball soup, there's often carrots floating around, so why don't I make a carrot leaf. It looks like it's 1981, but what else is new? Am I right? Let's go for it.
So the judges come, and they're in slow motion, of course, and Padma's like, wow, what a beautiful place. Very, very modest. You know, we should have Gail stay here, Gail. This is modest enough for you. I mean, listen, some people would call it a castle. I'm nominated for 7 Critics' Choice Awards, so.
You know, chefs, what makes this difficult is for dishes like this, you need to do a lot of trial and error. Yes, that's what I was saying. Lots of trial and Gail. You know, just to get the dish the way you want it.
So Tom is first, and he's making an almond and black garlic puree. Oh, wait, he's not first. I'm sorry. We just see him
he's just working on it.
And he's still going on about fucking seaweed. Did seaweed, like, did seaweed you at prom? Like, what did seaweed do for you?
Also, people eat seaweed. Like, thank you for teaching us about seaweed, but people know about seaweed.
We know
people
about
watch
it.
Top Chef know about seaweed, okay? Like, yeah.
He's Tom-splaining seaweed to us. He's like, you know what? You can always, like, have seaweed anywhere. So it's like, a seaweed is always there for you, you know? It's like on the cast of Friend, always a beard. Shut up, Tom, okay? No one cares. So Sarah is
and
first.
He keeps telling a story about serving caviar on the beach, like, over and over again. And also, like, people on a boat, we serve caviar on the beach, you know? I'm like,
also
honestly,
sounds disgusting. Like, nobody wants caviar on the beach. Padma's right with her disgust.
Oh, Padma's 100% correct. So Sarah's up first, and Padma goes, well, it's like Gail coming down a hallway. I can smell what it will be, which is obviously, in this case, a matzo ball soup, not Gail Simmons herself. But I'm not sure I know what it's supposed to be. Is this maybe sushi? Because Sarah has wrapped her quote-unquote tamale like a sushi roll.
Yes. Well, you know, tamales, you do wrap in the leaf, you know? So I guess,
no, I know, but like, it's she kept
circular
it
instead of like kind of, yeah, it does look like sushi.
It's not like a packet. She didn't make a little packet with it, so it looks more like a hand roll, right?
Yeah, so Padma looks disgusted by this. Like, she is disgusted by the lack of creativity. And I just thought, you just wait, because it's going to be almost an entire round of this with everybody. So she's like, it's a tamale, just pull the leaf off, and it's made with duck fat, poached chicken, and sauce. Tom is like, why is the sauce so acidic? And Padma gives this thing the dirtiest look. She's like,
ew, acidic broth. I don't like it anymore.
So Sarah's like, yeah, well, you know, there's bone marrow and apple all salsa on the bottom, and there's a little masa in it. So that doesn't really answer why it's acidic, but I'm just telling you more stuff.
And so her mold is like a little carrot and onion gelées that she's made in the shape of leaves. And when they pour the soup over it, it will melt them and they will kind of mix in with the soup.
Right. And Tom takes a bite, and then he like looks up at Gail like, huh, my eyes are telling you right now that the disappointment I feel is akin to the disappointment I felt when my son announced he was going to become basically a bartender, a quote unquote mixologist, but we all know bartender, you know that feeling. And the judge is like, wow, you guys really know each other, because you're talking to each other with your eyes.
Yeah, he's like, will you share? Will you share with us what you're sharing with each other, like creepy little twins in a corner? And Tom's like, well, you know, I think the soup is good. Where it falls apart is the visual. I don't really know what the jelly on the bottom was supposed to represent. And Gail's like, well, one of them was celery gel, because you start the base with celery and onion like a mirror ball. We know, Gail, stupid. The point is, why? Okay? What did it have to do with the tamale, Gail? I mean, God, you know, Gail called me about something or other about her husband and her child the other day. And I said the same thing to her. I said, Gail, what about the tamale?
Gail, you're taking up too much air in this space. A 2-star Michelin chef, not quite as good as a 3-star, but a 2-star has something to say. Jeremy?
I thought it was pretty tasty.
I really like it, actually.
Quite good.
Wow. I think he just got a Critics' Choice Award for most quietest voice. Congratulations.
I'm sorry, you would have been nominated for a Critics' Choice Awards, but they've all been lulled to sleep by your voice. Try cocaine. Do they have that here?
Hey, you know it's a good TV show that you might want to start watching? It's called The Voice, because I don't think you have one yet.
No one turned their chair around. Thank God you're cute. So Buddha has a lot of, I have a Bona. I love this guy, Jeremy. I think he's so cute. Okay, so Buddha is doing like a million components. And then Gabri is plating his stuff. But then he splurts the plate with it. And he's like, well, I guess it looks like a dirty plate. So it goes with my concept, right? So then back at the table, someone's like, so what are you guys looking for? Are you looking at the taste? Are you looking at the look? And Padma goes, both. And Kira goes, both. And Padma goes, oh, really? Both, both. Both. I said both.
I said both first.
Yeah.
So I claim Gail's both, you know? It's like, you know what? It's like when Gail's trying to decide between a cheeseburger and five pizzas. Both. They both happen for her.
So I love that Gabri delivers this dish and one of the judges goes, it's a dirty plate. Did you mean to do this? This is disgusting. And Padma goes, what was the inspiration? And he's like, a sponge. And they're like, and we get a boom. And then there's a big long pause and then we get a tss.
It's like, both. We got both sounds. So Gabri's like, I made for you today a dirty plate with a sponge. And Gabri's like, it's a sponge. Oh, no, he says, it's a sponge to scrub the dishes because I started as a dishwasher. And so they start eating. And then Gail goes, wait a second. So the sponge is a sponge. Wow, Gail. Congratulations. Can't imagine why you haven't gotten any Critics' Choice Awards. Oh, this just in. Gail Simmons nominated for most slowest person to realize what the hell she's eating on a plate. Congratulations, Gail.
So this is also lemon brioche parmesan foam. And they thought the idea of the dirty plate really worked here. And what's his buns? It's like, the humbleness. I can relate. I can relate to the humble moment he just shared with us. And Gail's like, I feel like his idea was tongue-in-cheek. Padma's like, really? I feel like everything is in your cheek, which is kind of the problem, Gail, okay?
Gail, I'm surprised there's room for your tongue in that cheek, given that there's a pork chop taking its place at the moment. So now okay. Ali is, he's working, he's trying to make his little garden thing, and they serve it, and Gail's like, they now have like the roll call of the components, because Gail's like, oh, it's a dragonfly. I've got a dragonfly. And Papa goes, you have a dragonfly? That's ridiculous. Wow, poor Gail, stuck with a dragonfly. I have turtles. Well, I guess you're just not lucky enough to have one.
And someone's like, oh, it's like the bottom of the ocean, I think. And Ali's like, it's actually the top view of a garden. Different layers, like Mother Earth. And Gail's like, what's the bottom supposed to be? He's like, another type of soil. Breadcrumbs. Okay. Stretch. That's a stretch, sir. Okay.
We don't need an accurate portrayal of every layer of Earth. We don't need to get down to like every crust, the Earth's crust and then the magma, you know?
I don't know if that was on the video. The biggest fucking bird I've ever seen just flew by my window. It's like a pterodactyl out there.
Oh my God.
Also, you don't get to just put breadcrumbs and call it soil. That's not soil, sir. It's breadcrumbs. Okay. Stop it.
Yeah. They don't like it. They don't like those crumbs. I'll tell you that.
They're not into it. It's too dry. It's weird. And then one of them's like, the pots are nice. But, you know, it's just a lot going on. And it wasn't precise. But when I closed my eyes, I mean, it had taste. Like Gail.
Yeah. Here's my problem. It's not enough of a trick. I mean, when you look at a garden, you know, you see the top of leaves. You see some things. You see little critters. Maybe see a joint that your son threw in there after he was done with his shift at the bar. But you don't see the actual radishes. They're in the soil. I mean, this is cut vegetables. This isn't a garden. This is a travesty. Like my son.
Yeah, and one of the guys like, this is a trick of the eye. There's a trick of the eye, and then there's inspired by garden. This is inspired by garden. And Tom's like, whoa, thank you. Thank you so much. That was amazing. Wow. Thank you for seeing my point of view.
The guy, and then one guy, so now that they're in between courses, and Gaia goes, every now and then, I like to look up at the ceiling. And Gail's like, I know, the ceiling is spectacular. Gail, stop eating the ceiling. How the hell did you get up there? Does anyone know?
They're not Choco Liebens, Gail. They're Arch of Square. Squares of art.
Gail, those aren't Kit Kats. Those are centuries-old paintings.
So, let's see. So Tom is plating his seaweed caviar shit. And he's like, I decided at the last second to put a lot of sand because it's a beach. So I feel pressure, but you don't go out on the last challenge before Paris. So then he serves and everyone's just kind of looking at it confused, which at first is good, right? Because it does look like caviar. And Padma's like, does anyone want to take a guess? And a guy goes, snail eggs? That is the rudest shit I've ever heard in my life. How dare you?
Wow. So Tom goes, it is a can of caviar at the beach. And she goes, so Tom, do you eat caviar on the beach often? You seem a little bit, what's the word? Poor to eat caviar regularly. He goes, actually, yes, I do. In clown school, the first thing we have to do is eat caviar on the beach. It is a very funny thing for us German clowns.
Well, on my boat, we go off boat and we serve caviar with champagne. And I think seaweed is a beautiful product that needs to be elevated because underneath is seaweed salad. Pearls, anori, and seaweed. Seaweed, the great savior of the world.
I'm like, what is this post-apocalyptic shit that you keep trying to shove seaweed down everyone's throat? The world is still going, sir.
Okay, Tom, we know about seaweed. It's Gail's favorite perfume. Okay, let's eat some of this. So Gail's like, well, you know, at the beach, you know, you definitely know those moments when you get a mouthful of sand, which is like what this is. So that's not great.
But I did like his message because it's the humblest seaweed standing in for the most glamorous, which is caviar. Yeah, it's like that time I let you stand on my gel mat.
Oh, it's like the time you served lobster on a shoulder pad.
So, one of the guys, I don't know, was like, this is the most technical, but I find the pearls are gummy. And someone's like, seaweed should be full of umami. And a trick of the eye, you need chemicals. And all those chemicals took away from the flavor.
And Padma, actually, I love Padma's comment here because she's like, well, it would be more of a trick if the caviar didn't taste like caviar. Like, the whole thing is we want to bite in thinking it's caviar and it's something completely different, not something that is just like reminiscent of caviar but isn't caviar, which is right. Like, that's the difference between a Trump Loy and that's the difference. You're Trump Loy and a substitution. What's the point? Yeah.
So then Buddha is in the back making what looks like kind of a little mini charcuterie for everybody, mini charcuteries. Yeah. And now he serves.
I'm just laughing at what Buddha calls this dish.
Yeah. Okay. He goes, this dish is called what's for dinner?
Because it's an exploration of what's for dinner. Wow. Really creative with your title still, Buddha.
Yeah, poetic. So he did a beef and onion that looks like red wine. And then he did a bread, porcini, and a polpette, quote-unquote, cherries, and a potato croquette, which is really a black truffle. Dun, dun, dun. And Gail's like, wow, beefy.
Wow. This felt almost like a still life for me. Oh, yeah. It's like when you sit on your couch on Friday and don't get up for three more weeks, Gail. Am I right?
Or as Gail calls it, life.
Or as Gail calls it, her dating life.
So Jeremy's like, I can relate to this as a chef. You just pull things out of the fridge late at night and you eat that. That's what that tasted like. You know who else does that? Literally everybody. Okay, Jeremy? Get your finger out of your butt.
I love that the... Get your finger out of butt. You quiet, hot man who's very talented.
I have no idea at this point.
I love that the truffle tasted like a potato croquette. I bit into it and was like, wow, it's a potato. Better than a jelly. Stupid Sam Pompaloni Bombas, whatever your name was.
Yeah, one of the guys is like, wow, this was so good. I even tried to eat the toothpick thinking it was something else. Oh, Gail's done that before. On purpose, actually. I'm telling you, put a little chocolate on anything, she'll scarf it right down.
She just calls it tough pocky. So Padma,
she calls it a colon pick. She's had a few of those.
Wow. So Padma's like,
what do we think about the meal overall? And they're like, well, we think that they all did a great job. That's nice. Now tell us what you really think. It was terrible. There we go.
Yeah, you know, because they can't really say it, but everybody sucked except Buddha, basically, is what happened.
Yeah.
Like, literally everything sucked. The only other person they could come up with a compliment for was Gabri, who made a sponge made out of, like, a sponge kind of cake, which is just lame. I'm sorry. We all know it. So we get to the judges' table. Oh, Jeremy says,
at the end of the day, it's food, and food should be delicious.
It's like, God, I want to date you, but I also want to divorce you. You know what I mean?
Wow. I guess that's probably what the Michelin judges said when they decided not to give you a three stars, huh? Anyway, thank you all for dining with us. I'm sorry I never got any of your names and never looked you in the eyes. We have to decide who's going to go to Paris right now, where I will be going.
Let's go to judges' table. Now, chefs, I have to say, it was a very tough challenge for all of you. It was like taking Gale bra shopping. Listen, not everyone's going to make it. Gabri and Buddha, and I'm only saying Gabri because we had to have somebody besides just saying Buddha at every single challenge at this point. You're moving on to Paris, somewhere Sarah might not ever see. Congratulations.
Wow, this is Team Gale sleeping bag. I mean, Team Wellington. How does it feel? And Gabri's like, oh, it feels great. Have you ever been to Paris? Surely you're not as pathetic as Sarah. And he's like, never in my life. What? I could have spent an entire season making fun of you, too. Sorry, we have to eliminate you on the spot at this point.
At first, I thought they were saying, you guys are in the middle, like you're safe. Now the other three get up here. And I was like, how did Buddha lose this? Are they just sick of rewarding Buddha? But he didn't. He won it. He's spoiler alert, he wins it.
Right, obviously.
So Gail's like, oh, that wine, quote unquote, that was my favorite bite. Well, it wasn't a bite. That was my favorite gulp of the day. Or like Gail likes to call it, a bite. Literally how she eats. It's like having dinner with Pac-Man.
It's like, imagine Pac-Man biting a Diet Coke. That's Gail with soup. So Gabri's like, he's like talking about his dish, and Padma goes, I thought it was a very clever trick since, you know, I did say you can use any old object. I mean, I thought at that point you're just going to make something that looked like Gale's face. But anyway, I think you fit the brief perfectly.
And Jeremy's like, it struck me as a scene from a Renaissance painting. Very well done. And Buddha's like, he's like crying. And basically he won. Okay, so let's get the losers up here. Congrats, Buddha. But Padma's so bored. And this is the fourth in a row for Buddha. I mean, that guy,
he is out of control.
Yeah. Just Buddha, give him the award.
We will see you in a city that Sarah's never been to. Paris. Okay, so losers, get up here. Do you understand what illusions are? Why are you so dumb? Okay, Tom, have you ever made this dish before? Are you embarrassed as a chef right now that you served this flavorless, not caviar on sand that tasted actually a little bit too much like sand?
I had it in my head. You know, I was in a seaweed farm in Norway, and I loved the fact of sustainability.
Well, guess what? I don't want to eat a recycling bin either. So take this out of my face, please.
You know what would be really sustainable? Your silence. Okay, go away.
So Jeremy's like, I love the idea of but for me, the flavors didn't come across in a balanced and tasty way. I was like, oh, damn. Jeremy gets down and dirty.
My main issue is that it didn't taste different enough from what it looked like. If you're trying to fool me that it's caviar, then you shouldn't have made it taste like the ocean at all. What the hell is wrong with you? I'm a Critics' Choice nominee, and I host a Jeopardy column. Thank you so much.
Sarah, how did you find it? And Sarah's like, look, it's not my thing, all right? It's not really my thing. Well, guess what? We didn't have a Pop-Tart challenge because it was the almost finale challenge. So sorry, Sarah.
Jeremy's like, yours is the dish that I could eat again and again. Oh, that's like Gail with pine cones. Never take her to a park.
I thought it was a sushi roll, Sarah, stupid. And Tom's like, you know, you're not following through on a sleight of hand. I mean, what is the jelly and what did it have to do with Tamal?
And Sarah's like, I saw people doing tricks. I wanted to do a fucking trick.
You know? She's like, I don't know. I don't fucking know. It's true, because if it's supposed to be a tamale, why do you have very obvious visual clues to matzo ball soup? That's supposed to be. What's the deal with the very obvious visual clues to tamales? I mean, you got a mirepoix on a tamale. Doesn't make any sense.
So, Ali, what is a breadcrumb supposed to be? And he's like, oh, I wanted you to eat it all together. And Gail goes, and do you think that worked texturally?
You know, it's like whenever I say to Gail when she gets out of the bathroom, there are breadcrumbs on the bottom. What's the point? So Gail's, Padma's like, those breadcrumbs tasted almost raw, like they weren't seasoned enough.
And Jeremy's like, well, flavor-wise, I love how you expressed your culture, but it sucked. I was like, okay. So then Tom's like, oh, I mean, I like turtles, even though I've never seen one in my garden, but you don't see vegetables in a garden. The quinoa looked like quinoa. I mean, you could have gone further. You could have gone further. Well, one of you is not going to go any further. Like to Paris. Bye, stupids. We're going to talk about you behind your back. Everyone's stupid, right? Oh, sorry, you're still here. Okay. Hurry.
I think the only dish I would want to eat again is every dish you've ever eaten in your entire life, Gail. We know.
Sarah's. And so basically they talk this shit over. We hear all the same stuff. And then it's time for the Tom...
Oh my God, are you okay, babe?
Oh no, Bueller.
Oh, my dear friend Bueller just got stepped on by accident.
Poor dog is already limping around here, and are you okay? Come here.
Oh, Bueller.
But literally, who sits right under the wheel of a chair? I mean, like, Bueller. Seriously.
I'm sorry, babe.
I'm sorry, you're supposed to be sitting on the sofa, not under a chair, Bueller.
I would love to help you, but I'm about to deliver a Tom Gina monologue, so you're going to have to wait. You know, chefs, this challenge was difficult. You had to make something that looks like something else, but that isn't that something else. Like, you tell us you're going to present a culinary feast made possible by years of training and the dreams of your father, and you serve an espresso martini in a plastic glass. Now, I don't know why I'm crying right now. Padma?
Tom... Please pack up your clown shoes and leave. Thank you.
So Tom was just happy to be selected. But, you know, it sucks. I like Tom. But, you know, it seemed like he could have gone earlier, too, because he messed up a lot. But also Gabri. But I don't know who I want more in the finale. But I do love a Tom.
I'm happy that Sarah made it. And Sarah's like, see you guys in Paris. And she, like, runs off.
She's like, see in Paris, and she does a double point and runs and does a jump and a like click of the heels and just keeps running, and she's like, I'm still running.
Good luck to you, Sarah. We'll illuminate a path for you through the channel and see you there in 3 months. The rest of us will take a plane.
Well, that means we're almost over, but not done yet, because next week is still not the finale. So I guess there's two more or three more.
Let's see. If we're down to four, so we have eliminate the fourth. And looks like we've got three more episodes left.
Is it always two people in the finale? Sometimes it's three.
Sometimes
right?
It's three. So it's good. Okay, well, it's two or three episodes left. So, the season's winding down. So everyone, thanks so much for being here. And we love... for those of you who are here in the States, hope you're having a good day off. Thanks to all our veterans, etc. And we will catch you all on the next one.
Bye. Bye, everybody.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Erin McNicholas,
she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ruru LaRue.
She's the Queen Bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.